Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio Land, this is the Great Ideas Radio Show, Food News Snippet Hour, and I am Grill, and joining me tonight is my co-host, Laurie. Good evening, Laurie.
Good evening. How are ya?
Oh, I was scrambling at the last second trying to get the show up and rolling, but I'm doing great. We have no other sidekick, Brian, so I don't know if he's lost on the internet somewhere. Or he's mad because I'm going to be telling all kinds of crazy food stories I got 48 stories here this evening.
Unbelievable.
And, I know. This is our new format, folks. In case you are joining us for the first time, we have changed things up a little bit, and now we do food news snippets that have happened over the last couple of weeks. We weren't here last week, so this is 2 weeks worth of snippets, and I kind of like this new format. I think it's kind of cool. We learn something, we laugh, and so I think the people have gotten good reviews too. People say they really like it. It's fast paced, and so without further ado, what we shall do is we'll start off with our first story is about Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts is testing a ready-to-go choice kiosk. Remember I told you about this when I was at the, I think it was the Charlotte Airport. I believe that's where it was. But they have a new selection of sandwiches at some of its locations. And according to an analyst from Maxim Group, he estimates the effort could boost same-store sales by 1% to 2%, assuming a broader rollout in late 2016 or 2017. As reported by Nation's Restaurant News. And I was surprised because I was waiting in line at Burger King. I was waiting in line at McDonald's. And I said, oh, my God, I got a plane to catch. And I saw Dunkin' Donuts over there with their little sandwiches. And I ran over. And they were actually pretty good.
What kind of sandwiches?
I had Dunkin' chicken
Donuts,
salad.
By the way.
But they have these pre-made sandwiches. Yeah, it was actually pretty good. So I say yes because I guess I was one of the first testees or testors. What is your testee or a testor? But I was one of the first ones to taste it there at the Charlotte Airport. And I like their sandwiches, and so I say go for it. Oh,
wow.
Look, Brian's finally joining us. Hello, Brian.
Yay.
Good morning. I just figured I would delay
Are you in Germany or something?
No, I just figured I'd delay my call in just to make you not make 48 snippets tonight.
Well, all right. Well, you're one behind. Number two, some companies that will voluntarily label. You'll like this, Brian. Well,
blah, blah, blah.
Some companies will voluntarily. We're not going to be doing your stupid wine crap and talking about one item at a time. I like this new snippet thing, so be quiet. Some companies that will voluntarily label GMO products, you'll like this, Brian, in the U.S., won't do so in Canada. Do you know why? Because Health Canada does not require labeling of GMO foods because, here you go, such items have been assessed for safety and nutritional adequacy by the Canadian government. General Mills.
They don't have a food babe.
Yep, Campbell Soup, Mars, and Kellogg's do not plan to change their labeling practices in Canada, reported the Montreal Gazette. Now, get this, the Canucks say, and, you know, they're pretty funny, too, about that kind of stuff, the environment and what have you, but they have no problem with GMO products, so whatever. There's a whole, there's another story about GMO products, but...
hey, can I interrupt for a second?
Yep.
I know, you know, you want to keep going, but
now
I want to interrupt.
Now you're
going
to only get 45.
He can save until the next time. I told him, don't panic. I said, you know.
No, there's only room on the news desk for three people, but I can make it two. Go ahead, Laurie.
Oh, don't
you dare.
That's
fine with me.
No, I want Brian here. Brian, guess whose birthday is coming up on Thursday?
Oh, God.
That's news.
Colonel
that's
Sanders.
Colonel Sanders.
All
right, so what? It's me. All right,
Julian's
that was good
birthday
enough.
Is coming
yeah,
up on
whatever.
Thursday.
Oh, whatever. So what? Okay,
so
here we
so
go.
Since
I'll
we're not gonna, no. Since we're not going to be on the radio, for, well, I mean, obviously
jeez.
Next week, but not.
Sorry, you're
ruining your
I've
birthday.
Got 48 stories due here, and we already.
I just want people
minutes.
To know that it's your birthday.
They don't care.
Happy birthday.
They don't care. I don't care. So why should they care? Once you get to
oh,
my
you
age,
care. You're already picking out your meal.
No. Well, okay. You said, what do you
I'm
want?
I'm sure
for
it has bacon in it.
No, it actually does. She says, what do you want? I'll make it. And she does do very good on Italian food. And I said, well, I'm not real keen on Italian food. So what did I pick, Laurie?
A turkey on the grill, and I'm making the stuffing and the mashed potatoes.
All right. Yep. That's good enough. That's the news on that. People don't care. All right, let's go. Speaking of food and delis, half of the delis involved in – this is gross. Half of the delis involved in a government survey failed to clean their slicing equipment every 4 hours, according to reports by the CDC. The agency spoke with managers and workers at 298 randomly selected delis across the country. Finding that chains, this is interesting though, chains and busier delis were the more likely to regularly clean their slicing equipment. So the small town deli guy who's cutting the meat, making your sandwiches, you might want to check and see how often he's been cleaning his slicers.
I think they get carried away and they don't pay attention to how much time goes by. I mean, I've seen that, you know, in the food industry.
Yeah, but it also goes to our point about people who say that McDonald's and Burger King and all these places are so disgusting and they're so unsanitary, they're the ones that have to follow stricter guidelines than the standalones.
Exactly.
You hit the nail on the head, Brian. Absolutely.
You know, the cameras are watching them constantly.
Yeah, but and they're under the spotlight anyway because they're a brand name, and of course the food babes of the world and those folks are out there to get them, and they can't afford to get somebody sick. So I guess, you know, Joe's Deli Shop could give a damn, but Subway
well,
and those
actually,
places have to.
Actually, they can't afford to get someone sick, where Joe's Deli can't afford a lawsuit. So
well,
you would think that these guys would want to be a little bit more careful.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're just not. There's not standards, the kind of standards that they are at the big chains. All right, number four. You're going to like this one, Brian. A coalition of 11 environmental groups sued the FDA over its decision to allow GMO salmon to be sold in the United States. The lawsuit filed in San Francisco federal court alleges that FDA failed to consider all of the environmental risk when the agency approved the fish in November 2015. So there you go. Guess what? We talked about this last or 2 weeks ago. Salmon prices are going up anyway because there's been a, what do they call that, the red tide or whatever out there down in South America and killing the salmon. Well, just add another issue. Now the FDA is being sued over GMO salmon. This whole GMO crap, just unbelievable. But we talk about it every week, so there's a lawsuit, 11 environmental groups. Okay, this is interesting, at least I think so. Speaking of GMO, U.S. corn planted for all purposes in 2016. I'm going to ask the question: how many acres, Brian, do you think in the world are planted in corn?
Cares.
Well, I think
you answer this question.
I think it's a cool number.
Good 90. Lord. You know what? You're bored with all the wine talk. I'm just bored with all of this.
93.6 million acres. I just think that's amazing. And that's up 6%.
For corn? That is amazing.
And corn, yep. And year over year, well, now since this doesn't matter to you guys, soybeans, there's 82.2 million acres of soybeans. And that is down 9% from 2015. See, I think these numbers are cool because people don't understand how big food industry is. 93.5 million acres of corn. Okay, let's go to something more interesting. Avocados, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Shipments in the U.S. could reach the highest level ever for Cinco de Mayo, according to the Henry Avocado Corporation, whoever they are. Early spring weekly shipments were up 20% higher than the year prior on a consistent basis. And as the Mexican deal continues and the California deal begins, retailers will likely have the volume necessary for promotions nationwide. So there will not be a shortage of avocados for your guacamole. Brian, when are you going to?
If you waste time talking about Austria, you're not going to get a snippet in.
I just asked a simple question. When are you going to Austria?
when I damn feel like it.
All right, because I don't want you to sing like Sound of Music or anything like that. I'm just curious when you're leaving. Okay. Now this
one's
interesting.
You gotta tell us about it when you come back. We'll have to take a snippet from Brian. He has to give a couple snippets on his trip.
Yes.
We will need to have that. Yes.
Yes, we will. Are you gonna call in while you're gone or no?
I think it's gonna be impossible unless we can figure out how to make Skype work.
Because you gotta be up at 4 o'clock in
unless you want to get me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I might be up at 4 o'clock in the morning anyway because I hadn't gone back to sleep yet.
Well,
we'll play that
by ear. I'm sure everybody will be waiting with bated breath for you to call from Austria. Okay. This is interesting. Chipotle Mexican Grill, that's Brian's favorite stock, is seeking a trademark for the name Better Burger, leading speculation that the company may be considering a new restaurant concept for hamburgers. Spokesman Chris Arnold noted that Chipotle applied to a wide variety of foods. Now, Laurie and I were in Salisbury, Maryland yesterday.
Oh, I was just going to bring this up. It's so funny.
Yeah, well, you want to tell them what was next to the Chipotle, right beside the new Chipotle?
I couldn't believe this, Brian. We drive by, we're going to the Best Buys for something, and we drive by, and there's a new Chipotle, and right next door is a Five Burger?
Five Guys Burger?
God, those things are disgusting.
Right next door.
They are
disgusting.
They are. I agree with you, Brian. They are disgusting. And people stand in line for, like, miles to get a Five Guys burger. I don't get it.
Do you
really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't get it.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've never been to one.
Those were off of my list long before I cut out fast food. Long before.
Well, I can tell you that Chipotle is going to be picking off the Five Guys, especially in Salisbury, because they are literally side by side in a brand new shopping center. So I don't know how that's going to go over.
Center. I don't know why they allow it. I mean, like I said, I really believe, I'm almost positive, in New Jersey, you can't open another store like next to each other, like a 7-Eleven and a Wawa or a hamburger place and a McDonald's. Like, I don't think you can. You have to have so many miles. No,
Laurie, you can do whatever you want. Money talks.
That's true.
Anybody that wants to buy or lease land can open whatever they want. Why do you think there are grocery stores across the street from each other everywhere you go?
Well, grocery stores are different. I'm talking about as far as like something like a burger or a hamburger place.
It's all the same, and people don't do any market research. Why would you open up another food store right next to something else?
McDonald's, Burger King, and Hardee's are all within spitting distance. right up the road from here.
That's
so
true, though. That's true.
Just because of the same building.
I mean, it would be stupid to open up two McDonald's next to each other or across the street from each other. But, you know, it's called competition.
Well, so much for Chipotle and Five Guys. I don't like either one of the companies. Hey, Brian, Laurie and I have never used this, but have you ever used Amazon's Dash service?
Amazon Dash service?
Dash service, yeah.
Dash?
It's some kind of delivery service. I don't know. I guess you pay up front for it, and it gets delivered to you a kind of a flat fee. Well, now, this is earth-shattering. Amazon has added Doritos, Pete's Coffee, Red Bull, and Starbucks to its Dash service. At launch, Amazon had 18 brands in the Dash program, but now has more than 100 brands that are signed up. Orders through the Dash button grew by 75% in just the last 3 months. But I don't know what it is.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. I guess 75%
in 3 months.
Yeah, everybody's sitting on their fat ass and ordering, pushing the Dash button, ordering everything through the mail through Amazon, I guess. Okay.
We talked about that before with the Uber, you know, with the Uber cabs. And people getting deliveries, and they call the Uber cab to go get their takeout, and the Uber cab brings them back home. So they barely walk from the car to the front door, get into their couch, and scuff their face.
Well, now you throw Dash into it, too, so now you're going to have a Dash button with an Uber taxi. So this is we're all lazy butts. Okay, now this is very, very interesting. I think, Brian, you have Trader Joe's in Richmond, right?
Yes, we do.
And, Laurie, you've shopped at Trader Joe's in New Jersey, and I've shopped them in
California.
Oh,
I love it.
Listen,
I'm going to burn down. I'm waiting for it to rebuild, but seriously.
A basket of 77 items at Trader Joe's, a shopping basket of 77 items at Trader Joe's was 26% cheaper than at Whole Foods Market equivalent in a New York area store that they did the test. Trader Joe's private label items were 15% cheaper than similar 365 Whole Foods products. The discrepancy led the analysts to speculate that Trader Joe's could be lowering their prices at all its stores in the coming year. And by the way, they're going to have 500 stores by the end of this year. I didn't know that either.
Someone's buying Trader Joe, or Trader Joe is buying someone else, and I'm trying to remember who.
Oh, really?
I think it has to do with Aldi also.
Yeah, I think Aldi's tied into that. I believe you're right. I forgot. We talked about that. We need to get one of our reporters to check on that story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I really hope they come to this area.
All right. Here we go. Fruit consumption is down. Does that surprise anybody? U.S. annual per capita fruit consumption fell between 2005 and 2008. I don't know why they have so far back. Due to declining consumption of oranges. Total vegetable consumption dropped 161.8 pounds per person per year from 172.8. Dairy, beef, and consumption is also declining during this period, while chicken consumption is up. Well, that's kind of weird. That's interesting, because I would have thought the opposite. I thought the wing-wings and all the folks out there pushing for, you know, better eating, you would think that the fruit consumption would go up anyway.
Brian, do you eat a lot of fruit?
Well, I do. But, you know, I have the answer to why fruit consumption is down. I have the real answer.
What?
It's because of all that organic fruit that everybody wants to have, which they don't use pesticides to get rid of the bugs, and the fruit has bugs. So people won't eat it. Doesn't it make sense?
Yeah, you're right, because if you look at the organic section, they all got brown spots on them, and some of them don't look really good. So, of course, we talked about the ugly produce and ugly fruit a couple weeks ago, but you might be right. It doesn't look as good.
Okay, here's the Trader Joe thing. They actually are. Trader Joe was founded by Joe Columbi and has been owned since 1979 by a German family, Aldi.
Unbelievable.
Interesting.
But I think that, I don't know, one, you know, like recently I heard something about one, you know, just sort of dissolving the other, or I don't know.
Well, last
but two weeks ago we talked about Trader Joe and
Aldi
had something to do with each other.
Well, Aldi, 2 weeks ago we talked about where they're going all organic and all non-GMO.
It hasn't happened. In fact, in fact, I was so happy that the German products were back at one of the Aldis I shop at here in Richmond. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, the good Oktoberfest, you know, Wurst and the red cabbage in the jar and all that fun stuff.
Wow.
It was
all
there.
Well, don't get used to it. Don't get used to it because they're taking all that stuff away, according to the story we read 2 weeks ago. Okay.
Well, but you know what? It'll take 5 years to happen. So.
True. Speaking of that, I got an interesting story about that, about cageless eggs, but and talking about how long it's going to take to do that. But anyway, before I get to that story, I guess the cereal companies are trying to rebrand cereal to be used as a snack food, and attempts to rebrand cereal as a snack food may only have marginal impact on sales. According to Tab Analysis, one issue is that branding cereal as a portable snack puts it in direct competition with Greek yogurt and snack bars, which have more protein, are perceived as being less processed, according to the Hartman Group. Cereal is for is for breakfast. Why would they try to make it a snack? Am I going to go to Wawa and pick up a box of Cheerios if I want a snack? No. Are you, Laurie?
No, but you know what? When I'm home, as you know, like sometimes in the afternoon, I feel like something, so I'll have a little bowl of cereal. Like I don't have it for breakfast. I do. I have it at a snack.
Well,
something like Cheerios
you could probably snack on.
You think so?
You could. I do, too. I think you could. Yeah, look what babies do.
I guess. I don't know. I just can't see myself going. Yeah, let me see. Hershey's candy bar or Raisin Bran? Let me see. Okay. Sales of sugar-labeled organics were up 15% in the year ending February 20th. Sales of sugar-labeled natural rose 10.5% during the same period. Using real sugar as an ingredient rather than high fructose corn syrup can make labels look cleaner by listing more natural ingredients. That's pretty standard. Okay. California food and retail workers made up a third of those who will receive a raise from the state's minimum wage proposal. And we've all heard about this. They're going to $15 an hour. And I think New York also announced by 2022, they will be making $15 an hour. Not to get into a long conversation about this, but we all know the simple facts of this. There's going to be more automation, less people working at these fast food restaurants, and there's going to be higher prices for our food. It's just a natural progression. Anybody thinks I'm wrong, they're crazy. Somebody's got to pay for it somewhere. So,
yeah.
Whatever. Yep. Okay.
Well, it's a good thing I don't eat fast food anymore.
What was
that's
that?
True.
It doesn't bother me.
He said it's good. He doesn't eat fast food anymore.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's going to be everybody, though. Everybody, all the minimum wages, no matter whether you're fast food or if you're working in a Walmart or whatever, is going to be $15 an hour in both California and New York. Okay.
There goes all your bargains and your junk food. I don't know how you're going to survive.
I know. I'm worried. 2022, let me think. I'll be retired by then, so I'll be eating at the food bank. Okay, blueberry exports increased more than 57% since 2010. Now, this is interesting. According to the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council, demand remains high, and growers and shippers and marketers believe consumption will increase as the fruit's health benefits become more apparent to consumers, reported the Packer magazine. So blueberries, we all know blueberries are good for you, and they've increased by 57% in sales since 2010. Go eat the
blueberries. I love blueberries, and I love blueberry pie. I'll have to make
I got to make a blueberry pie on the grill. I haven't done that yet
in a while. You do?
Okay, here we go. Carbonated drinks. This is not a probably surprising information, but I found one part of the story very interesting. Per capita consumption of carbonated soft drinks is at its lowest level since 1985, according to a report from Beverage Digest. Total volume declined 1.2% in 2015, which is an accelerated drop from 2014. Bottled water sales, though, increased as, how do you say it, Dasani? Dasani, Aquafina, and Poland Spring reported volume increases ranging from 6.5% to 11.4%. So people are getting rid of their soft drinks and drinking more bottled water. And have you ever figured out what you're paying for water when you buy it in a bottle like that?
Depends on where you buy it. I buy bottled water at Costco because I carry it with me everywhere in the car.
We buy it at Walmart.
I get like 40 in this big package for 3 and change, so I'm not paying a lot for bottled water.
Yeah, same here. We're paying $3.50 for 35 bottles, so it's 10 cents a bottle. But if you go stop at a Wawa, it's going to cost you, what, about $1.79 for the bottle of water?
It's a lot.
Yeah,
well, you know,
I bought,
it's interesting, I bought you a Dasani. I forget where we were, and I read the Dasani. It was really chilled, and you were swearing up and down that Dasani water is better than the water that we get from Walmart in the container. And I'm like, you know what? No. The bottle is thinner, so I think that's kind of, you like the way the grip was. And it was chilled, so we don't chill our water. We keep it, you know, in the closet.
Yeah.
So I think that, I'm sure it's the same water. If you did a side-by-side, Brian, he thinks Dasani water was better.
Then he must like Atlanta tap water, because that's all Dasani is. It ain't spring water.
I heard it's
Mineral Corporation.
It's mineral infused from the Georgia water pipes.
It's tap water.
I know. It's good, though.
It's Atlanta
better.
Tap water.
All right.
Don't drive down there and fill up your tanks with water, and then you won't have to buy Dasani.
Should I put them in that blue bottle? I'll put them in that little black, that light blue bottle to make it taste better. Okay.
Yeah.
BTAs. You guys know what BTAs are?
The what?
What?
BTA?
Environmental? BTA. Like, no,
what
B. B as in booger. BTA, like booger PA. They are, it's a plastic lining that goes inside of cans. Anyway, it's all being eliminated.
I call it a garbage bag.
Del Monte Foods is switching to food cans without liners containing BPA. Campbell's Soup will remove BPA linings from its products in the middle of 2017. Such items as Swanson broth, SpaghettiOs, pasta, etc. And California will delay state-required warnings on cans lined with BPA due to concerns that the warnings will scare consumers away from fruits and vegetables. Instead, the stores must post signs near checkouts warning that some products being sold may be lined with the chemical.
First of all, canned vegetables are beat to hell. There's no nutritional value in them, very little. And what are they going to line the cans with? You're going to have raw metal?
Know.
So now we're going to have rust in the cans.
Now we're going to have, what they used to have, botulism, or what was it years ago because of the tin?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Progress.
Well, what about like canned beans? And like we buy a lot of those canned beans and stuff. What are you going to do with that?
They're going to get rid of the BPA. It's a chemical. They're going to put some other chemical in there. I don't know. I'm just reading this crap. Okay. This is funny. Remember we talked about breakfast in schools and how important it was for kids to have breakfast in schools, and they're giving away free breakfast? Now, these people actually did a study. This cracks me up. Free breakfast in classrooms adds little to students' performance in school, according to a study in the Journal of Policy Analysis and Management. Researchers examined the updated free breakfast program in New York City, finding no additional benefits to students eating at their desk compared to eating in the cafeteria.
Oh,
Why don't we call Amazon and have them deliver the goddamn food to them?
There you go.
Good Lord.
I can't believe that someone actually
studied
to see.
The kids are lazy enough now.
But did someone actually try to see if there was a benefit of kids eating at their desk versus eating in the cafeteria? That just cracks me up.
Well, you think they're going to have a book open and read and study while they're eating breakfast?
I know.
Oh, God.
They did a study. Okay. This is cool. A Mediterranean diet may reduce the risk of hip fractures in older women, according to a study in the JAMA Internal Medicine magazine. Researchers found women who ate a diet high in fruits, vegetables, nuts, legumes, and whole grains had a 20% lower risk of hip fractures compared to those who didn't follow the regimen. So what I'm thinking is maybe the Mediterranean diet, you don't fall as much. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, my mom, even though she's Irish, she did, you know, she always made the Middle Eastern food. And she did, that is her diet. And knock on wood, she never had a hip replacement. And she'll be 87, so.
Well, 20% lower risk.
There you go.
I just wonder how they come up with these risk factors and whatever. Somebody's always studying something. Oh, okay.
You know, it's interesting. You know anyone who's been a part of these studies, because I never knew anyone who's been a part of these studies, so who are they picking? Because they never picked me.
You know what I find amazing?
Is that
you've got way too much time on your hands. You went from, I am not preparing anything for this show, to, this has got to have taken you days to find all this crap.
Laurie, tell him, it took me, what, about an hour? I got a secret sore. It took me about maybe 2 hours to do this.
Oh God, that's
well,
two
you
hours
have,
too
you
many.
Well, you have stuff sent to you. I mean, you have like what's that?
Don't give away my. No, I'm not.
I'm just saying, there's certain things that you like. You know, like that you have come to you in your emails. You know, with food stuff. So yeah.
Don't give away my sources. Okay, this is good news. The Georgia peach crop could be the sweetest in years due to the perfect amount of chill hours. According to the Georgia Peach Council, peaches from the state are set to be harvested in time for Memorial Day and should be available through the end of summer and will be the sweetest in years. So
ooh,
go make some
like
peach cobbler. Yep, there you go. Now, this is weird. The EU, which is the, what is that? That's the European Union.
They're trying to
ban in Sweden and a couple other countries American lobsters and calling them invasive species. The listing would effectively ban EU member nations from importing Maine lobsters, which could cost the U.S. lobster fishermen and exporters $150 million a year, including about $10.6 million affecting Maine alone. Why would they do this?
First of all, why would they get American lobster anyway? They've got, you know, Scandinavia's got wonderful, you know, seafood of their own.
True.
They have their own culture. What do they need with our lobsters?
I believe it's probably a bunch of politics, and they're trying to boost their own lobster business and keep the U.S. lobsters out. So
oh.
Well, you know what? If we didn't ship so much stuff elsewhere, I think that our prices would be more reasonable for us.
The demand
would be here.
I think he's Donald Trump, Larry. Okay.
Not Donald Trump.
Coffee chains are moving to appeal to sophisticated coffee drinkers as boutique coffee shops catch on with consumers. Coffee drinkers are becoming increasingly interested in knowing the source of their beans and the method by which they are roasted. So there you go, Brian. The wine people, now the coffee people, are going to catch on with all the different locations of the beans and how they were grown and yada, yada, yada.
Brian, do you grind your own coffee beans?
Not anymore. We use Keurig.
Well, that's right. You got
but
Keurig.
But I do grind coffee beans because I have a little, like an insert for the Keurig that I could just put coffee, you know, ground coffee in. So yeah,
oh,
I always ground my own coffee.
Brian, guess what? According to another study, they expect single-serve coffee sales to grow by double digits in 2016, which includes Keurig, noting single-serve now represent, this is amazing, 36% of the dollar value of total coffee sales in the U.S. Companies are planning more mergers and acquisitions to help boost sales after recent consolidations left almost half the global market in the hands of just a few players. But yes, 36% of the dollar value is single-served type of coffee that you're talking about.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting you have the Keurig because, I mean, so many people, and most of my family, they all now have it. They all now use the Keurig. I mean, even our priest today in church was saying that he now has it, and he loves his coffee because, you know, he didn't say today, last week I think it was, he said it, that he has the Keurig now and he has, you know, he makes it. And everybody I know loves it, but I still like the perks.
Look, I mean, unless you drink 23 cups of coffee a day like Grill does, there's no sense in us making a pot of coffee and having me throw out half of it because, coffee.
How many do you drink? Just one of those little pods? You drink one pod a day or what?
I probably drink, maybe sometimes I have two cups of coffee.
Oh.
But, you know, I generally only drink one cup of coffee a day.
And you don't get it on the road? Like, if you're on the road in the morning, you don't get a cup either?
Well, I get a cup, but I get it somewhere else. I get it at 7-Eleven or Wawa, you know, when I'm on the road.
Right.
The point is, at home, it's like, we used to make a pot of coffee, and then it sat. Because
oh, God, not ours.
My wife, but that's what I'm saying. Most people don't drink as much coffee as you two do.
All right. Well,
so
speaking of coffee,
single serve is convenient.
Hey, Laurie.
I drink two cups a day. That's not a lot of coffee
a day. Wait till he hears this story, Laurie. Drinking coffee can help lower blood sugar and uric acid levels. According to a study in the International Journal of Pharmacy, researchers found drinking 3 to 4 cups of coffee daily lowered blood sugar by more than 5%. And uric acid levels by 10% in non-diabetic participants. So there you go.
Most people drink 2 cups. I think most people who I know don't drink 1 cup of coffee. They drink 2. To me.
All right, but you're not going to drink 2 at the same time. So again, why make a big pot of coffee for me and have it sit? I want a fresh cup of coffee at night.
Exactly.
I
could see that.
I have a different concept. If there's a whole pot there, then drink it.
Well, we don't measure normality by what the caveman does.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of coffee prices may climb further this year amid increasing concerns that global supplies will shrink because of El Nino-induced crop losses in South America and Southeast Asia. Demand may exceed output by as many as 4 million bags in the upcoming season, following a 4.8 million bag deficit in the current crop year. So there's going to be a shortage of coffee. I mean, I'm the one who's causing it, drinking all this coffee every morning, but I guess our price is going to go
up. Yeah, it's expensive, too.
Well, that's okay, because, you know, when we switched to the Keurig, I had a lot of whole bean coffee in the house that I've now got stored. So I don't care. I got plenty of coffee in the house.
Come on, we'll go to Brian's for coffee in the morning.
Now, Brian, I know you're Mr. Healthy, Normal Living now, so this story is probably not going to be interesting to you anymore. But McDonald's is introducing the McGriddle at another 1,000 locations. The company
we can't talk about McDonald's because Mary doesn't want to go to a theater near you.
Yeah. If you can find the McDonald's near you that actually has them, then you win the prize, right? It's like
right.
The McRib sandwich.
Well, McGriddle's going to be 1,000 more locations, and they're going to be found in Alabama,
Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, and South Carolina. Does that surprise anybody?
Gee, I'm getting in my car right now to drive.
Now, Brian, when you're over
Hey, Brian,
in,
pick me up, Brian.
Brian, when you're over in Austria, we were talking about this a little while ago, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, about how fast food is becoming big business over in Europe. Check this out. We were talking about Five Guys Burgers earlier. Five Guys Burgers and Fries was named UK's top choice for fast food in 2015, according to a survey by MarketForce. Nando's, never heard of it, Gourmet Burger, KFC, and Burger King rounded out the top five, reported CNN. KFC was number four, and Burger King was number five, but Five Guys, Laurie, was number one.
Wow.
And I'm surprised because Burger King is originally a British company, isn't it?
I think Pillsbury owned them at one time, so I don't know. Do we have
okay, now Brian has me curious now. I got to try this five. We got to try this Five Guys.
No, Laurie, spare yourself.
Nope.
Spare yourself. I'd rather see you eat a pound of bacon than eat one of those burgers.
You know,
yeah, the burgers are not that good.
We really don't eat a lot of fast food. Very rarely. Very rarely.
No, we don't.
We don't eat a lot of fast food.
I know Brian really doesn't like numbers, because when I ask questions about numbers, he gets mad. But how many billion pounds?
I don't get mad. I'm just
he
cares.
How many billions of pounds of poultry do you think was sold in February, USDA plants in the U.S.?
How many billions of pounds?
Yep.
Just 200 billion. 200 billion.
3.8 billion pounds were sold in February, an 8% increase from the same month in 2015. The preliminary total live weight of federally inspected poultry totaled about 5 billion pounds during the month, which is an 8% increase from a year ago. So the chickens are getting bigger. And people are eating more of it, 8% more versus last year.
And you know, honestly, remember going back to that other thing you talked about with you said the poultry, everything was down and stuff, but the poultry was up. I think also, you know, when you go to the stores and they have those already cooked chickens, you can just grab. I mean, they're like grab and go for $4.95, $5.
Yep.
I see a ton of people buying that. I mean, you know, once in a while we run out and grab it. I mean, I really do say, oh, that's really good. You know, so I think that's why people are eating a lot of poultry, because sometimes you just don't feel like cooking, and they really are good. Like ones that come in like a lemon pepper and...
You mean the ones that are prepared by the grocery stores?
Yeah, rotisserie chickens she's talking about.
I used to like them too, but they, you know, since I've cut my salt down, I'm sensitive to how much salt is in them, and they're just so loaded with salt. I don't do it anymore.
What do you do? Yeah. You like celery stalks now?
No.
I'm kidding.
No,
don't get mad.
Called,
I'm just being funny.
It's called normal living.
I know. Okay.
Just remember, you live in an abnormal world. I'm living in a normal world.
Hey, normal living. You remember Shoney's restaurants? Like, well, they're still out there. Well, they're talking about opening up hundreds of new locations. The company will remodel all its current locations over the next decade, and Shoney's is going to offer bars with wine and beer in some markets. So, didn't they have the big boy originally? Didn't they have the big boy in Shoney's?
I don't know.
I think so.
All I know is that we will never set foot in the Shoney's, because I remember once seeing a sign outside of our Shoney's near us, something about, if you bring your church bulletin, we'll give you 10% discount on your meal.
So,
well, what about the rest of the people?
Well, go to church and get a bulletin, you get 10% off.
No, sorry, it doesn't work that way. You know, we have a lot more religions in this country than just Christians, so you won't catch me going to a showing. Even if I were a Christian, I think that's just discriminatory.
Well, because question. Do Jewish synagogues have bulletins?
Yeah, they put out a bulletin for their services.
Okay. Just a question, because I don't go to Jewish synagogues, so I didn't know. Okay, peanut prices. They average
They average
18 cents per pound as of March 19th, down 1 cent from a week earlier. Now, of course, you know the reason I'm reading this is because how many million pounds of peanuts do you think were sold just in the month of March?
And well, I know how many million you consume.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
34.4 million pounds of peanuts in the month of March. I just
amazing.
Find these numbers are mind-boggling.
You probably have
okay.
that.
Yeah, and since it's not peanut season, they must be coming from somewhere else.
That's true. It's not. You're right. It's not peanut season. Well, I'm sure they got them in storage warehouses somewhere. They don't just plant them and pick them and ship them.
Yeah, that's another bad thing about Five Guys Burgers, is they give
peanut?
You a free peanut. But those are the worst peanuts I've ever ate in my life. Most of them are usually over.
In my life. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe they'll like this next story. Maybe Five Guys needs one of these spectrometers that Target is coming out with. Target is testing an in-store spectrometer that scans produce to determine its age, its nutritional content, and how many calories it contains. Target could take the data collected to create a baseline that could impact pricing, such as selling fresh produce for more than ripened produce, reported in Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal. So there's a spectrometer, I guess what they call it, spectrometer. They can tell how old the produce is and what kind of calories and nutritional content it has based on age. Oh, boy. Do we want to really know? Mr. Healthy Living, that normal living, I can see you walking around with a spectrometer. You want one?
No, I don't own one, need one. I have my brain.
Okay. All right. We were talking about cage-free eggs. Everybody and their brother is coming out with cage-free eggs, and whatever. By 2025, large corporations are talking about going to cage-free eggs. But listen to this little tidbit here. Cage-free egg commitments may become a significant profit driver because, on average, consumers pay twice as much for cage-free eggs, but at the same time, it only costs 15 cents more to produce a cage-free egg. Ta-da! So somebody's making money on this, and the egg
mm-hmm.
people are kicking butt. So that's why everybody's pushing for more cage-free eggs, even though they'll tell you it's because of the health of the animal, et cetera, et cetera. But it's going to be a big boom for
all
the egg
industry.
All about money. Follow the money. Okay.
Hmm.
Let's see here. A diet rich in vitamin C could reduce cataract progression risk by one-third. According to a study in Ophthalmology magazine, researchers found that consuming more of the nutrient may increase the amount present in the fluid around your eye lens, providing extra protection due to its strength as an antioxidant. So we talked about earlier, people aren't eating as much oranges and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
If you did, you have less chance of getting cataracts by one-third.
You know, I had read a long time ago, and I don't know if it's true, that people who wear sunglasses all their life tend to not have that problem. So now they're saying vitamin C, but I had heard if you protect your eyes throughout your life wearing sunglasses, that you will not have the problem. So...
Well, I'm in trouble.
There you go. Yeah. We'll have to
Brian,
check that out.
Do you like Japanese food?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that any surprise to you?
Not really. I could see you eating Japanese food. Eating a traditional Japanese diet may lead to a longer life, according to a study in BMJ, whoever that is. The Japanese diet puts a heavy emphasis on grains, followed by vegetables, fish, and meat, milk, and fruit. Researchers found those who followed the guidelines were 22% less likely to die from stroke during a 15-year period and 15% less likely to die from any other causes by eating Japanese diet food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only problem with that diet now is because I'm lowering my blood sugar, so I'm watching my carbs. And sushi rice is really starchy.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's higher in like gluten and starch, because it's like sticky rice.
I could see that.
You know?
Yeah.
But I would eat, you know, raw fish and stuff like that. And I love Japanese food. Absolutely love.
Me too.
Okay, here we go. The Sacramento County Board of Supervisors voted to ban single-use plastic bags. The ordinance is similar to the proposed statewide ban that is awaiting a vote in the House in California. But a proposal to ban in Minneapolis stores and handing out plastic bags was approved by the City Council Health, Environment, and Community Engagement Committee. If passed, the ban would take effect on April 2017. Now, get this. This is the part that blows me away. The one in Minneapolis says it would exempt several types of plastic bags, including those used to wrap produce, those used for baked goods, those for takeout, and those for fresh meats. What the heck are we going to put this stuff in? Can somebody tell me?
I couldn't tell you.
I'm
with you.
I mean, I know that you can carry your bag for toting it out to your car, but now they're not going to let you have it in the produce section. They're not going to let you have it to wrap the meat that's dripping all over everything else in your cart. Oh, for God's sake. Okay. Honey,
what is
production.
This world coming to?
I don't know. I just saw a video that's come out now with the, I forget the name of the group, about banning all plastics in our environment. And Jeff Bridges is the one who's promoting it, and it's getting all this publicity. And I guess that we're all going to just go to the supermarket and, like we said a couple weeks ago, get our milk, just drink it right out of the udder. If you need some meat, just slap it, I guess, throw it over your shoulder and carry it out to your car. I don't know what we're going to do. We can't use plastic anymore.
Well, Costco, when you shop at those places like Costco and BJ's and stuff, I'm trying to think. Now, Brian, you go there more so you would remember. Do they have all that kind of stuff when you're in the meat department, the plastic? I mean, you just take it and they put it in cardboard boxes
and bring it out. It's wrapped in a tray like grill cells.
Right.
It's already wrapped. They don't give you like a slab of raw meat, you know, just by itself. It's already wrapped. But look, what did we
so
do?
So if you
what
bought like burger meat,
then
you can't buy burger. You can't buy like they don't have like the burger where you cut like the burger meat laid out somewhere where you can say okay, I'll have like half a pound of that, like or a pound. I don't, you know, no.
Well, they have butcher paper in some places, but not in the big supermarkets. I mean, I in Chicago, they have markets where you can go up and ask for a pound of this and a pound of that, and they wrap it in butcher paper.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right. Okay.
Yeah, but if you go to the meat section, in the grocery store, if they have, well, that's fresh as you, they might have it. I wouldn't call it fresh meat, but, you know, the fresh meat section, where it's not packaged, yeah. And you know what? My Kroger, they wrap stuff up in butcher paper, actually.
Well, you want me to tell you something about butcher paper since I'm in the packaging business? Most butcher paper is poly-coated, which is plastic, or wax-coated, which is, of course, derivative of the petroleum industry. And neither one of those, folks, is recyclable. Just so you know, your butcher paper is poly-coated or wax-coated, so Whatever.
So the food babe is going to rule out butcher paper too then. Right?
Oh, yeah, eventually. I'm telling you,
yep.
We're going to be slapping this stuff over our shoulder, carrying it in our arms.
Well, I bet you in the old days, when they didn't have the technology and the chemicals, butcher paper didn't have plastic coatings and petroleum on it.
Well, nowadays it does, unless we go back to craft paper, but then you've got all the issues with the paper industry and all the chemicals they put in the paper, and of course all the trees that they kill to make the paper,
mm-hmm.
to make the butcher paper. Oh, my God. I don't know.
Yep.
Well, you know what? First of all, I got to tell you something. Today I took a lot of empty, you know, wine bottles to the county landfill to recycle.
Right.
Because it's just like too much for me to put out, you know, to have our pickup do it. And so they have all of these, you know, this one's marked for bottles, this one's marked for plastic, this one's marked for, you know, mixed paper, cardboard.
Cardboard, yeah.
People don't even give a crap. They think that they're doing the world a service by recycling, but they throw the stuff wherever they want to. So what's the difference? You know, the cardboard gets mixed in with the bottles and the, you know, so it's not, you know, it's creating more useless labor to separate all this crap.
But Brian,
you know, so we're not being efficient anyway.
It makes them feel good. It's all about perception. It has nothing to do with what really happens. Don't you get it by now? That's what our world is about: perception and feel good.
Yeah, I got it. I was making that point.
I know. No, your point is. I know your point is valid. I mean, you're exactly 100% right. It's a joke, but whatever.
Yep.
And speaking of that, here you go. Hy-Vee stores divert more than 2 million pounds of food waste from landfills each month. Hy-Vee transfers food waste and clippings from their floral department into 5-gallon buckets, which are then carted off to be mixed with recycled wood before being bagged and sold to farmers and home garden centers. That just sounds gross to me. So they're going to now they're putting it in our mulch?
Well, you know, it's like the same thing about you go to the county dump and you can get free mulch. God knows what's in that stuff.
All right, we only got a minute and 25 seconds. I got two quick other stories, actually three. Soft drink makers in the UK are considering taking legal action against the government over its proposed sugar tax. Remember we talked about sugar tax a couple weeks ago? Well,
mm-hmm.
soft drink manufacturers are taking UK to court over that. And a purple bread rich in cancer-fighting antioxidants was developed by the National University of Singapore. It is made by extracting whatever chemical from black rice and infusing it into bread, and it helps prevent cardiovascular and neurological diseases and cancer, and it plays a role in controlling obesity and diabetes. So if you might be seeing purple bread out there that's rich in cancer-fighting antioxidants.
Wow.
And the last thing I have is bacon prices are going up about 30% because of all the people eating bacon. It's caused a shortage in the market, and there's expectations that pork belly prices are way up, so your bacon's going to go up higher too. And we got 23 seconds. I can't believe it's almost over. Got anything else you want to add, Brian?
Well, I was going to add that Hardee's got a new burger called the Midnight Moonshine Thick Burger. And if I wasn't watching things and, I was vowed to celibacy when it comes to fast food these days, I would be going to eat it. So you'll have to try it for me.
And Laurie?
Oh, you've got to try it, yes.
I'll try it. You got anything else you want to add? We're almost out of time.
No, I'm done.
I'm done,
too.
All right. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We will be back maybe next week. And, Brian, I forget when you're going to Austria, but we'll figure out how we're going
to
talk while you're there. We'll see everybody, in a week or two. Have a nice one. We will see you then. I can't get the music to work because I think we ran out of time. So have a nice one. We'll see you guys next time.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm just